Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Thursday, March 29th, 2018. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my killer thespian twin brother, John Abaya.
Hello there, it's John, and this podcast is dedicated to Mario and Link due to their undying perseverance, which I'm not sure I should do the same of.
Okay, that was odd. I know where you got that from, but I don't know if the listeners do.
No, I don't. Probably.
How are you, John? This is an odd occasion because we're recording midweek.
Yes. Usually, I don't know what you want me to say there.
Yeah, that's it.
It's anyway. Hump day. I don't know why it's called hump day, but it's a Wednesday.
Well, it's Thursday.
Or Thursday.
The episode comes out. But
the wizard, or what do you call it? Behind the curtains.
But that's good that you're good. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, and read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with the main discussion. This week's main discussion is the new HBO series, Barry. So we're looking forward to that. But before everything, what have you been doing this past week, John?
I've been reading some comics and playing some video games. Let's start with the comic book. So this week, last couple of weeks, I actually went to my local comic store and got all my issues for the Milk Wars that I've been hyping about in the last 2 months or last year. I was saying this is my most anticipated comic book thing this year, and it started in the beginning of the year. I think I explained it last year, but I didn't know what was Milk Wars. I know it's from DC, DC's Young Animal imprint. It was started by Gerard Way, and then he has other creators on there too. It's pretty cool. Some of the writers on this project is Steve Orlando, Gerard Way, Jody Huser, Cecile Castellucci, I think I'm saying her name right, and John Rivera, and then some of the best artists in the industry, Frank Quietly, ACO, his name is ACO, I think, I don't know if I'm saying that, it's literally just three letters, Sunny Liu, Ty Templeton, Mirka Andolfa, Lando Foss, and Dale Eaglesham. Yes, I did not struggle just right now just trying to say all those names. But yeah, it is a event book, you could say, from the Young Animal, and then it's crossing over with some of the DC superheroes that you know of, like Superman or Justice League, Batman, and Wonder Woman are the
Wonder Women.
Oh, Wonder Woman. Sorry, Wonder Woman. But yeah, they're teaming up with the Young Animal groups or the Young Animal titles, Doom Patrol, Mother Panic, Shade the Changing Girl, and Cave Carson, and his book is called Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye.
These are the comic book series that you've been reading throughout like the past couple of years, right?
Yes, yes.
You've been talking about it.
Mm-hmm, it's the weird in DC. It's based, the Young Animal is more mature thing. They show nudity, they show bad words. DC censors that stuff in their line, so this one's more in line of like the Vertigo series back then with like Sandman and other whatnot, or even Watchmen-ish. I believe that's Vertigo. I'm not 100% sure now. I have to say that. I know it's from DC though.
Yeah, I think it is Vertigo.
Yeah. So it's that. It's a crossover event in which it's called Milk Wars. I'm assuming they're making fun of how Marvel does all their cross events, like Civil War, Infinity War, like the ones coming up now, and all the other like Secret Wars, like all those stuff that's always ending in the word wars. So it's like this poking fun at that. At the same time, it is a title that will reset some of the things for this year or to show
again.
Or, which one?
It's going to reset again.
Yeah, reset. No, but it's resetting only the Young Animal titles more. In doing so, the story is literally just about this company called Retcon. Or you can say Retco? Retcon.
That's too meta.
It is meta. It is the most meta story I've read, in which this figure, I have no idea his name. I don't even know where he's from. Wants to make this like pure universe. And doing so, the retcon makes his character name Milkman Man, and he gives milk to all the DC superheroes, and they become very pure in their thing. Like Wonder Woman is a house cleaner, or it has that 1950s style. So Wonder Woman becomes a stay-at-home mom in that tradition of like, the 50s. And then in her issue, she basically is getting ready to go to the Women's March. But all it is women that just accepts what they are, that the status quo, basically. Like, they accept that men are better than women.
So you basically see, like, the patriarch.
Yes. So you see that, like, it's a Women's March, but all the signs say, like, my body, your choice. I was like, oh, wow. That's interesting.
What year is this?
This takes place in today. Like, it's basically what if, this is a what if story in a weird way, where this milk changed everything to this pure form, like this pure Americana form, in which even the superhero. So this milk even changes the way they act, the way their backstories, they retcon everything, basically. That's what the company does. They retcon to take out all the weirdness of these superheroes. Like, so like, take Superman. So Superman is this Milkman Man, but instead of landing in Jonathan, what's his last name?
I forgot. Kent.
Yeah, the Kent. Sorry, I totally forgot. The Kent's backyard. That he lands on a dairy farm, and he learns how to make milk, and he becomes this pure Americana, in which he only helps make everything not weird. In other words, it's a interesting title. I really like it. Especially the ending, and it's a very interesting way of portraying all these superheroes, especially the Trinity of DC, and how what if they became pure of the weirdness they have. It's just really interesting. I really like it. I think people should read it. It's only a short series. It's only 5 issues, and most of the art I love. Some of the issues I did not care of. There was probably one issue I really didn't care of, but of the art, but everything else looks very beautiful. I love how each one is different, but still has this consistency of like the themes of how each book represents each superhero and how the way they are portrayed. But yeah, it's really good. I don't know what else to say about the thing. I think it ended well in the way that I was really surprised. I think if you're a fan, and I think Ben, the minute I say this, you'll say, oh, it's that type of book. I think if you're a fan of Cabin in the Woods, this book will make you really
happy. Oh, it's that type of book.
Yes, yes. but yeah, this book will make you happy.
Okay. And
yeah. So the other thing I did this week is I jumped on the bandwagon with all these people are playing this mobile game I heard of that sweeping the nation, that's questioning teachers are questioning the cell phone too much now for these kids. These are all playing this game that isn't Minecraft, but I've been playing PUBG on mobile, not Fortnite, because Fortnite is too hard to play. But PUBG also came out with a mobile platform, and we discussed PUBG a lot. Player Unknown.
It's one of the freaking awesome things last year.
Yes, one of our freaking awesome things that last year. And then this thing sweeping, not really sweeping the nation. So last time I played PUBG was only at our nephew's house, and then that's it. I don't really play PUBG. I don't have a computer powerful enough to do that. So I decided to play the mobile game only because it's free to play, and I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh, it's this free to play game. I think it's in beta, that's why. And I could say it's very easy to play. It's still PUBG, but it's with touchscreen controls. It still has the exact same things, the sprint button, the bottom part is all your the two weapons that you have, you can carry, and plus the melee weapon, and exactly the same. There's a little circle that goes closer. I think say the easiest, the thing that's different about this game, it's super easy. Especially if you are experienced with first-person shooters, but shooters in general, you will pick it up and understand the mechanics, and that's it. I think when when I first got the game, I screenshot my chicken dinner to you, Ben. I was playing squads, and then we won. And I was like, oh, that was my first game, and I won. The thrill of it is over. And I dropped the phone, or I dropped the game. But then I wanted that thrill again, but this time with a single player. So I played it again, and then I got second place. I was like, oh, okay. So this game is super easy. I hear, so there is a Kotaku review from, I forgot her name. I think her name is something Hernandez. I forgot her name. But she wrote an article saying that the PUBG actually has, the mobile version actually has bots in it. So I was, Heather Alexander, sorry, that's her name. She wrote an article saying that when you first play the game, mostly the new people, because they still rank you, I believe, do they rank you in the console version?
They kind of do. I think it's more of the ranking of how many wins you have.
Do they do the little perks? Like, not the perks, but if you kill 3 people in this game, you open up a point, or you get coins more. Or is that?
We do get coins, but remember, the console version is still in beta.
Mm-hmm.
Although you pay for it, it's kind of weird. And I have so many points, I have not used it for, it hasn't shown any of the customization when it comes to like the skins and the outfits and whatnot. So I don't know. Like I could see where the points are going to, but how many points I've had, but I don't see where I could use those points ever.
But you can't buy outfits or anything?
I've seen people buy like outfits, and I'm not entirely sure how that was possible.
Okay, so every game you start, you're just naked?
No, I bought an outfit in the beginning. Yeah.
No, but that's what I meant with the player coin. So the mobile version is exactly like that, but you can't spend real money on anything.
Not yet.
In the game, yeah, not yet. So I say, if you're a fan of PUBG, just try this game out. But I just noticed this when I first started playing this game. Because it's PUBG, it's not like Fortnite where you can just play probably 15 minutes and that's it. It's not a fast-paced game. So PUBG is more slower-paced game than Fortnite. And I would be sitting there for like an hour, my shoulders just stiff, and then I'm just moving my fingers. And then after a couple of days, my right arm started to hurt really bad. to the point where my neck
doesn't sound good at all.
Yes, my neck started hurting, so... just a couple of days ago, or not even a couple, over the weekend, I just deleted the app because, it's not worth playing if I have to go physically hurt myself playing this game. But yeah, it's a cool game. It still has that excitement of being, staying in the bush for like 20 minutes and just waiting for people to walk up and then shoot your game. It's a much easier game. I can see the appeal to this, especially for the younger people. It's free. People right away can just pick it up and then start, winning, it seems like, in the game. But yeah, it's if you're the console player, or even especially the PC version, I say I don't recommend this at all. But it has that, if you just want to continue playing PUBG throughout your day at work and you're not near your consoles or computer, yeah, I would say this is a minimal experience of that.
Yeah, I read that article, I think I read that too, where they said there were bots. Mm-hmm. That's when I thought, like, oh, okay, I'm not going to play this game if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. And they even look, they feel like bots, because they'll just be moving left to right and shooting you and missing, and that's it. And then you can tell who's not a bot, because they know when to duck when they get seen,
okay,
or
that makes
when
more
to,
sense.
What do you call that, prong? Prong? I forgot that word.
Yeah. Prong.
But yeah.
Interesting. Is that everything you've done this week?
Yes.
I've only done one thing too. I watch a television show on Netflix. Have you heard of the television show On My Block?
Besides you mentioning it, no. I've never seen any commercials. Even when I'm scrolling on Netflix, I even did this recently. I didn't even see anything about that show.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like it's a Netflix show too.
But my kids watch a lot of kids stuff, so I'm not sure if it's screwing
the algorithm.
Screwing the algorithm. Yeah. Ribbon. Okay. I forgot how to say that word.
It's a coming of age comedy drama. It's created by Lauren Unigrich. She created the MTV show Awkward, but she is co-creator of this show with Eddie Gonzalez and Jeremy Haft. It's starring Sierra Capri, Jason Genono, Brett Gray, Diego Tichanako, Ronnie Hawk, and Jessica Marie Garcia. So the show's premise is about like four intelligent and quirky teenagers who are friends growing up in inner city Los Angeles, California. They use their street smarts to overcome like the challenges in their neighborhood, but the entire show is mainly about their dynamic and their bond being tested as freshmen in high school. I would say it's like Dope or like Freaks and Geeks.
In the modern era?
Yeah, in the modern. Okay. It's like takes place modern. I found the entire series so far, because I've only watched like 6 episodes out of 10, to be refreshing and fun. I think the four main characters are wonderful. I think their chemistry is great. They have a certain like quality and knack with each and every one of them. They also feel natural and not forced. Like, I think you could tell when a character's forced when it doesn't sound natural, I guess. I sound redundant right there. I could see the characters exist in our world, basically. And it does get a bit zany with some of the plot, but the creators balance the goofiness with the more complex storylines very well. You're very much immersed with these characters. They're supposedly playing like 14-year-olds, but in the show, they look older than that just because, you know, they're actors.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, my favorite breakout stars are Brett Gray, who plays Jamal, and his best friend Ruby, who's played by Jason Gennaro. They have this unique camaraderie that's reminiscing to like Troy and Abed in Community.
Really?
It's very fun to watch. Yeah. Especially with them, they're very young and they have really good range. But like I said, like they're supposed to be quirky teenagers, but what I meant, like, it's more like they're geeky, nerdy teenagers too. Like Jamal is this whiz kid. Like he's very geeky. If you see in his room, he has a Goonies poster, Super Mario toys and whatnot. While Ruby is like this smart kid who's short, but he has this sense of like intelligence that you could see with him. Most importantly, there's a lot of representation. All the kids are people of color, especially the lead female character is a young Afro-Latina played by Sierra Capri. I forgot her name. Manso, which is unique for a television show. I haven't seen a television show like this before, where it takes place in a modern year. Other than that, yeah, I highly recommend it. If you've suggested, John, a couple weeks ago in Netflix, what was it?
Everything Sucks.
Everything Sucks. I've seen a lot of comparison to that film from that television show.
But because Everything Sucks seems more like, I don't know, it's like a ultra hyper realism of the 90s. So
Yeah. I haven't watched an episode yet, but I feel like those kids could be like friends with these kids probably.
Okay.
I won't say like there's several plots going on in this television show on my block, but there is one specific plot that they kind of bury, but it's actually a huge plot point right now.
Really?
And they hinted in episode 1, but I won't tell you, but it is reminiscing, or it could be also a what do you call that? Like a callback to one of our favorite films in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is really great. And that's it. That's all I've been doing this past week, is just trying to binge through that.
Mm-hmm.
So we could go to our main discussion. This week's main discussion is HBO's Barry.
These people I take out, they're bad people. The money's good. It's a job. Yep.
Hey, ma'am.
Are you seeing this beautiful morning? What are you doing?
How are you?
What am I doing? I'm set up here like you asked me to.
Oh, right. Duh.
This heat is urgent.
This is Ryan Madison.
Familiar to my slaughterous thoughts.
Hey, man.
Are you new to this class?
Help me out.
Ryan, you're up. I'm going to do the scene with him.
And action.
That is a clip from the trailer of HBO's Barry, created by Bill Hader, known for his characters in SNL. He also provides the voice of BB-8. Alec Berg, who writes for Silicon Valley and Seinfeld. John, what's your favorite character of, whether in film or television, of Bill Hader?
So I have a lot of them, but especially I have one that is from an animated movie called Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. He plays Flint in that, and it's one of my favorite characters in animation or even in movies in general and the way he acts. I also like Stefan from SNL. I think that's one of the most humorous characters I've seen, and he's one of those actors whenever I see him in any movie or anytime I see his name appearing in anything, I would watch it only because I know I'll at least enjoy it because he's in it.
Yeah, me too. I'm really fond of those two characters. I'll give a shout out to a film called Skeleton Twins.
Oh yes,
with him and
Kristen Wiig.
Yes, they play twin siblings. It's a really great film. Mm-hmm. It didn't get enough attention when it came out, but there was a really wonderful and earnest karaoke scene in that film. That's really a delightful to see.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this television show, Barry, it stars Bill Hader, Stephen Root, Sarah Goldberg, Glenn Fleshler, Anthony Carrigan, and surprisingly, Henry Winkler. this is the synopsis from IMDb. A hitman from the Midwest moves to Los Angeles and gets caught up in the city's theater arts scene. That's really interesting. Anyway, John, what's your thoughts about this show? We only watched the first episode, which premiered this past Sunday on HBO. But I messaged you immediately after I watched it because I thought you would like it. And I wanted it to be the main discussion for this week. So what's your thoughts?
So I knew about Barry, but I didn't really know about it. I didn't see any trailers because I wanted to be surprised about it. I'm really surprised about it. It's low key. It's not very in your face type of comedy. I best describe, like you said to me earlier, it's a dark comedy, but it has the way Bill Hader is acting is not your typical Bill Hader. He feels like he is a hitman that's struggling for happiness in a weird way, and he's trying to find his calling, and then he accidentally becomes this or he accidentally finds it, and it's in Los Angeles, and then you can see it in his face that this is what I want and stuff like that. And there's a really good scene between him and Henry Winkler, Bill Hader, where he's explaining his life and Henry Winkler just assumes that he's acting. So I was like, that's kind of
or
cool.
improvising.
And I was like, oh, okay. So at that point on, he's like, oh, I can probably do this and stuff like that. And it's a 30-minute show, so it's really quick with their jokes, and really the story moves fast, and you're not like just sitting there. And I really enjoyed the premise of this, so I'm all in. I just want to see how it goes. I don't know how dark the comedy gets. It does get a little bit dark dramatically in the hair, especially towards the ending, and makes you wonder what will happen now, especially like certain scenes or certain something happens in the ending that make questions like, how is he going to get away with this? And then, yeah, I can't wait. I didn't see like next time on Barry or anything like that. I just want to see how this will move forward.
I absolutely love the premise of the television show. It's like a reverse Breaking Bad, but more towards the dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm delighted how they could use like the duality of Bill Hader's talent and have this complex yet sympathized character in one hand, and then he's like a cold-blooded and specially trained killer. And on the other hand, he's also like lost, vulnerable, and looking for purpose in his life. Mm-hmm. But yet, a comedy ensues throughout.
But they say, too, he's a killer, a trained killer. But they keep saying he only kills bad guys. So you don't feel like, oh, did he ever kill like a really bad... I mean, technically, some of the things, like especially in this episode, the person he's trying to kill is technically a worst person. Not a bad person, but like a really worst, like not worst, but he's what he did is not like, you shouldn't be doing that. But
he shouldn't be getting killed.
Yeah, too. Yes. But it's his job. So he gets paid for doing it. So for him, it's like, it makes sense. Yeah, he did something bad. So technically he does something bad, but he'll kill him.
Yeah, so like throughout the show, there's a sense of dread too. But then in the end, you have this sense of like buoyancy. Like there's hope there with the character that you actually kind of cheer for him.
Mm-hmm.
That I really admire. But I want to see how Bill Hader, like, and then the television show ultimately, like how it's going to progress with its plot, because this could get tiring in one season. Or they could go to the Breaking Bad route and you have these like rich developed characters and you care for them and whatnot. Because of, like, the joke of him being an actor and whatnot, I want to see him if this could be like extra, like that Ricky Gervais television show.
Oh, you actually see real actors in there?
Well, yeah, that and the fact that what if he finds success. And then people will notice him as a hitman. It'll be like kind of. It's going to be kind of zany too.
So other hitmen's like, why is he there? Or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it will be interesting to see how this is.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, I think that's it. We're not going to talk about spoilers, yeah. Right?
No. I mean, we kind of tiptoe around it, but other than that, like, that's it. Like, I can't think of anything else to talk about with this.
Yeah, I mean, all the supporting actors are really great. It's cool to see Stephen Root in there and Henry Winkler.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like really great character actors. But to see them in these roles, it's really astonishing to see too. But yeah, that is Barry on HBO, which I think it is on Sunday nights.
Wednesday.
Was it Wednesday?
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
I watched it on Sunday. That's okay, why. Yeah. Probably it is Wednesday.
There's one new one tonight. I mean, technically. Wednesday, I mean.
So that is our main discussion. And then I'm going to move on. Where I'm actually going to add something to our list of 18 freaking awesome things of 2018. Really quick. So last week, I also asked you to listen to this hometown rapper, MC.
Huh? You did this last week?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, a week ago.
I don't remember.
Hobo Johnson. That is his stage name, but his real name is Frank Lopez. He's 23 years old. He resides in Sacramento, California, where we live. And then he's been getting a lot of national attention because of his YouTube video, which is a 2018 NPR Tiny Desk Contest of himself, Hobo Johnson, and the Lovemakers, which is his band. They do a song called Peach Scones, and it's been getting a lot of popularity. I've known of him, but I've never seen his work because some of the people I hang out with know of him. And I finally listened to his work. I listened to two of his albums in the past. He released 1994 Toyota Corolla, which was in 2015, and his 2016 album, The Rise of Hobo Johnson. Both albums are distinctively different in style and music. Even the way he does his flow is different. But I more really like The Rise of Hobo Johnson. I think that is more of his modern style. I think he's found that style with this project. His style is also reminiscing to like Sage Francis, Idea, and MC Paul Barman. Yeah, it's very ambitious. He has a lot to say. It's very different. If anything, he's a little bit unhinged and spontaneous. I don't know if that will work well with other people who will listen to like rap music, but I want to see him grow. I want to see what else he got. So he gets a little bit more redundant with his style, but I want to see him tackle other topics instead of his personal life, and I'm looking forward to that.
Same here.
Yeah, some of the songs I would shout out that you've mentioned is Mario and Link, Romeo and Juliet, Sex in the City, DeMarcus Cousins and Ashley. those are like, yeah. So like those four, I think if you are into, if you're into those four songs, I think you'll love Hobo Johnson. So that is our second thing on our list of this year, is Black Panther and Hobo Johnson.
Cool.
It's kind of cool. Do you have anything on the list?
No, and not at this moment.
Okay, cool. So this is a quick episode. I hope you guys like it. So John, where can they find you into internet?
You can find me on Twitter at the most organized Twitter feed of 2018 at Abaya Arts.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Benjamin Abaya. I've been posting a lot of stuff from on Instagram and Twitter of my photos from the march on Sunday or Saturday, the March for Our Lives, and then a couple from the protest that's been happening this in Sacramento for Stephon Clark. So yeah, go ahead and look at that. I'm very proud and also saddened about what happened, but at the same time, it is my way of putting visibility to what is going on in this city at the same time. So yeah, I'm anxious to see or hear what you guys like about it. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. All our episodes are up there on iTunes and any podcast app. You could contact us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com, on Facebook at The Freaking Awesome, on Twitter at TFA Now. You can find all our stuff, and you could see us also retweeting a bunch of other peoples who are proud of. Is there anything else, John?
That's it.
Cool. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.